All right, welcome again to Reviewing the Brew podcast. This is Brew Crew Online. I'm Benjamin Orr.
I'm Colin Bennett.
And as always, Brewers News. It has not been a good stretch lately for the Brewers, going 2-8 in their last 10. Very tough series right now with the Giants. We lost last night, lost the night before. Winning right now today, Marco Estrada had to leave, unfortunately, due to an injury. But last night's game, I mean, it looked within reach later on. It's just...
It did.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Markham had a very rough outing. You know, 6 runs off of 5 hits in 6 innings. But then, I mean, we started to get to Kane later on. Aoki doubled, you know, scored Guitarist. Braun, you know, scored Aoki. It was getting in reach.
It was, yeah, and it's... you know, it's really tough to see a game like that where we... You have 11 hits and you can only score 4 runs. Not to mention, you had extra base hits by Markham, Lucroy, who had a double and a triple, Weeks, Ramirez, Aoki also doubled and tripled, and Aramis Ramirez, and, you know, we're just not getting people over.
Yeah, and I mean, the Brewers have had this problem all season long in the fact that they are not scoring with runners in scoring position, and it's just, it's frustrating to see, because there was a game... I believe last week or 2 weeks ago, we got about 8 hits, only scored 1 or 2 runs off of it, and, I mean, you can't miss those kind of opportunities.
Right, and that's been one of the biggest problems for the Brewers thus far, is capitalizing on opportunities. That's really been, their biggest issue, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know if it's a lack of offense that's been doing it, I don't know why, because the starting pitching is kind of settling down. I don't want to say to a point to where I'm comfortable with it, certainly, especially with Estrada being hurt now, but it's just something has to turn around, and looking at the averages in our lineup, it's just really abysmal. I mean... You have Lucroy batting .344, you have Ryan Braun batting .331, and then you have Aoki batting .296. After that, it just completely drops off. I mean, there's nobody even close.
Yeah, it's... the Brewers' season this year has really been just feast or famine, you know?
Yeah, I mean... And we know it doesn't have to be like that. And, you know, against these tough games we have, you know, obviously a very tough series we had... with the Giants previously and having won again with them, you know, we do play Arizona at Arizona coming up, and then we do play the Dodgers at LA, and, you know, playing some of the best teams, not only in baseball right now, but some of the best teams in the NL West. But, I mean, it's just been a struggle, and I think at first base, what they've been trying to do, they've been trying to play Taylor Green a little bit more out there, because I noticed the other night Corey Hart started. And in today's game, Taylor Green started. So, I mean, I don't know if they've totally figured out who's playing first, but it kind of surprises me that they're really not going with Ishikawa just certainly yet.
Right. You know, and I don't know how much we can really even speak to that, because there's a lot of factors going into who they want playing first base against, you know, pitching matchups and... just defensive consistency and what have you. I think Ishikawa's earned the every day. I think Corey Hart playing first base every day is more of a pipe dream for fans than it is from an organizational standpoint.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, it's difficult to tell.
Yeah, I mean, there's that one catch that Norrie made the other night against the Giants where he slid in right field and made it. And that's a play you would not see Corey Hart make. So maybe it's the fact that Corey Hart should play first, and we should have Norrie maybe in right. I don't know, Carlos Gomez in center, or Nigel Morgan in center. And because I think Norrie has figured out how to play that wall in 40, 42 games than Corey Hart has in years.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know my feelings on Corey Hart in right. I think it's a mysterious lack of...
Everything.
I don't know, everything there, yeah. And he dropped off so quickly... you know, so it's hard to say what is actually happening there, but I like Norrie and Wright. I want Norrie and Wright, and I'd like to see Corey Hart, you know, work in more regularly in first base, but you know, with the way his bat works, how he can get hot sometimes, you know, that's a hard thing to kind of step away from.
Yeah, it really is, because we need that kind of production, because, you know, we haven't really had it outside of Braun and Lucroy so far. We definitely need the middle of the line to start stepping it up. You know, Aramis Ramirez needs to pick it up. Ricky Weeks needs to pick it up. It's just, it's been a very sluggish start. I'll give it that. And it's still progressing, you know, almost into June now. And I don't necessarily want to say this is the time where we hit the panic button, but it's kind of getting towards that point.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that a lot the last couple of days. Me and Lou, you know, one of the other staff writers at Reviewing the Brew, regularly text each other in between games, and we decided this looks a lot more like the early 2000s or that lull between 2011 and 2008 than it does a continuation of last year, which it should feel like that. It should feel like, you know, we're defending a championship. But right now, it feels like we're a team still trying to find its place in the league.
Yeah, and I mean, that's, you know, was one of my fears going into this season. Because we've seen it happen with other teams before, where they get, you know, good and then just die off. I mean, look at the Astros back in, what was it, 2005, 2006, when they made it to the NLCS, I think even the World Series, and then lost. And then have not done well since. So, I mean, I don't know if it's a mental thing with teams, certainly, but the fact is, we know we have the potential to get there. And I don't think losing Prince should make that big of a difference, because he's the only guy we really lost, aside from two bullpen guys. But then again, we've seen that affect our bullpen tremendously. It's gone in there, and it's just, it's kind of a matter of putting in the guy who will give up at least one run. And, I mean, it's really sad to say that, because we'll say, well, okay, he'll give up one run, but this guy will give up three. So we'll go with this guy. Right. And I just, it's sad you have to say that about your bullpen, but it's kind of becoming the case, because, I mean, I look at our bullpen, and there's just really nobody I'm comfortable with putting in, you know, to hold a lead anymore. And I kind of like the fact that we got rid of Vinny Chulk, because he just did not do well. But
yeah, you know, we needed someone to just see if something can work, and, you know, it didn't end up working, and sometimes that happens.
You know, I'm not sure how Juan Perez is going to fare. He hasn't fared so well so far, giving up two earned runs and two and a two-thirds innings pitched, but, I mean, it's rough for the Brewers right now, you know, still in a very tough division with the Reds and the Cardinals, you know, doing well. But, you know, it can turn around. I mean, it really can.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every team's going to win one-third of their games, and they're going to lose one-third of their games. And it's what you do with the other ones, that other third that really counts. Unfortunately, right now, it looks like Milwaukee's going to have an extra third of a season in order to really turn something around. I hate to say it, at the end of May, you know, coming into this last week of May, but really, how much more time do you have to turn something around?
Yeah, because it's going to get to a point where it's just irreparable damage. You just can't fix it anymore. It's going to be, as they say, you know, FUBAR.
Right.
The season's going to be FUBAR after a point, and it's just going to be, it's going to be more of rebuilding into next year and seeing how we're going to fare, you know, with having Matt Gamble back, and maybe Alex Jones also, if we re-sign him. So it's going to be more of looking towards that approach. But that said, talking about our offensive player of the week, I actually was between two. I was between Aoki and Lucroy, but I'm going to have to go with Lucroy. It's just the production he's giving. I mean, the man's literally going out there and giving it his all. I mean, he's playing in games that, you know, he's pinch hitting later on because Renicky needs that bat in the lineup. When Kataris starts, when Wolf pitches, he puts, you know, Renicky in. I mean, Renicky doesn't put himself in. I mean, Renicky puts Lucroy in later in the game, you know, the eighth or ninth inning, and he can sometimes be that clutch, you know, bat we need. So I think the production he's giving, you know, hit a home run today against the Giants, you know, had that double triple last night. And he's having, you know, multi-hit games. You know, I mean, he had that 7 RBI game the other day against Minnesota. It's just, how can...
Just a masterful performance at the plate from Lucroy on that day. That was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not like what he's doing, you know, at the plate?
Right. No, and I agree with you, and for a while, I was going to give the edge to Braun, really over the last 7 games or so. They've been neck and neck in terms of pure performance. but Lucroy has an extra walk and then two triples, which really help his cause. And I think, I can't think you can ask anything more of someone than what Lucroy's given you right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, especially from being from a catcher, you know, I like the fact that he plays four games. Because we talked about this at Blue last week, how he plays four games and then sits one. That gives him, you know, more rest that other catchers don't get. You know, there have been, you know, other catchers that have done fairly well playing all the time. You know, Joe Mauer, Miguel Montero, who warmed up to it. But, I mean, the fact that Lucroy is doing this and he's only 25, I mean, that says a lot about him and his durability.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're setting it up where they're not burning him out. He just got a big extension. He's going to be a part of the team for a long time, hopefully. And he's a guy that, you know, with him and Braun, suddenly, him and Braun in Weeks, when Weeks, if he eventually starts to pick up, you know, these are people that you have a solid core of people that can be around for a long time. And a good catcher who does call a big majority of the game, which is becoming rarer and rarer in Major League Baseball, you know, it's important to have someone like that as a benchmark for your team, and not only, you know, defensively, but offensively as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he and Braun have been doing so much, you know. Aoki's been doing more because Reinke's been putting him more in the lineup as well. And it's just, they'll keep going. I don't think they're going to slow down. And, you know, hopefully that heart of the lineup picks up with Ramirez and Weeks. You know, and we've even started to see some production out of Taylor Green when he plays sometimes. It's not always the best of production. He has a lot of sacrifice hits, but it gets a run across.
He's striking out a lot more than I'd like.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's still young, so
it's just, you know, it's just starting off really slow and going through the season slow and hoping that we have that turnaround. Pitching wise, the story is not any better. And yet again, I'm going to have to give our pitcher of the week to Zach Greinke, just because, not because it's Zach Greinke, but because he's doing well. I mean, you know, he had that 8-inning, you know, game against Cincinnati. We have two hits, not even factor decision. Struck out 11, then he, you know, wins against the Mets, wins against the Twins, and it's just, he's doing everything he can. You know, Markham, I thought, was going to turn around, didn't turn around. Wolf has been giving up 5 runs or more in a game, and it's just been painful. Gallardo is kind of settling down, and with Estrada hurt, who knows how long, it's a matter of the fifth man again.
Right. I would say Greinke has a lock on player of the week from the pitching standpoint until further notice. Gallardo made a run for it. He did a very good job in his last outing. It didn't get a decision, but played very well. And Axford quietly doing well again. He's not getting any save situations, unfortunately, but you know, he's doing well, which is good to see.
Yeah, he, in his last 4 innings pitched, he's given up only 2 hits, hasn't given up any runs, walked 2, and struck out 3. So he's been doing pretty well. So, I mean, you know, I think not being in the save situations right now kind of helps him, because you look at the fact that Milwaukee hasn't been getting into them very lately. He only has 6 saves on the year.
Right.
And the fact that when they get into those situations, that there's a lot more pressure on them because they don't get into the situations a lot. And it's just, we have to shut the opposing, you know, offense down. And that's more of a mental thing. That's more of, we have to do this or we're going to lose the game, which has happened to him quite a bit this year. I mean, he's already blown, you know, quite a few saves, so.
Yeah, and it's been rough on Axe this year for sure. And putting him into the hold situations or into the eighth innings and, you know, what have you, those non-save situations, is good to keep him, for nothing else, to keep him consistent and keep him in a rhythm for when we do start turning it around and we do have those leads that he needs to protect in the ninth.
Yeah, because, I mean, we had gone between, you know, him and Frankie when we decided, you know, last year Axford was going to be the man. And then, you know, Frankie hasn't done really that, you know, bad. I mean, he has 7 holds on the year. Has only given up 1 run in his past 6 innings pitched, you know, relief-wise. So, I mean, I think, honestly, lately, Frankie's been one of the consistent guys. Parra has just been, oh, God, I can't even describe it. Lowe is kind of in the same boat as Parra. Tim Diller's just a mystery sometimes. And Jose Varas, I kind of wonder why we even got him at times. But it's just, it's trying to make a situation that's already bad less bad, but you always have something kicking you back.
Right, and you know, once you start, as a fan and as a team, I think, once you start running into bullpen issues, it's so easy for, especially for a fan, to just completely lose faith after the sixth inning. You know, and that's troubling, and I think pitchers feel that. You know, I think they understand when they're in that position. But it is a very difficult position to be in, and even when they give decent performances, you know, you take it with that enormous grain of salt because we've seen it flounder so many times.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen, you know, the Brewers get into the seventh inning, even the eighth inning, and blow leads. I mean, I was watching the game the other day, you know, the Twins game where we, you know, routed them 16-4, and, you know, somebody, you know, asked me, they goes, well, you're up 10 runs, are you happy now? I go, no. I mean, I honestly said no, because we have seen the Brewers blow huge leads like that. And, I mean, it's not the fact that they've lost those leads. It's the fact that they've allowed the opposition to get in with 2 runs of that lead. And that's something you can't have, especially going into June. I mean, to me, the baseball season's just been flying by. We're past the 40-game mark already. And it's just, you get farther down the line, you can't afford that to happen. So, you know, fortunately, Frankie's been getting the job done. Fortunately, Axford has been calming his mind a little bit. It's just a matter of the rest of the bullpen. And it's why, honestly, I didn't want Estrada starting. Because I liked Estrada in the bullpen so much. Because he proved, you know, last year, being behind Hawkins and Saito, that he could, you know, be an innings eater. And that's what I liked his role going into this year, before Narvison got hurt. I liked him being there. But now with him hurt, it's just, we're getting too many injuries, and that can also dampen our season. We've noticed that before. So we can't, I'm not saying it's not our players' fault as to why we're losing, but, I mean, injuries do play a big part into a season.
Well, yeah, when you get into injuries, it's one of those things where you almost have to throw your hands up and say, you know, what can we really do? Because when a player gets injured, you know, it's not the same as if, like, oh, Corey Hart's having issues with his mechanics right now, or Ricky Weeks is having trouble seeing the ball and having trouble with his swing. Well, that's something that he can work on every day. When they do BP, he can talk to his hitting coach. He can, you know, there's a number of things he can do mechanically to help himself get back on track. But when Matt Gamble, you know, tears his ACL to shreds, what can you do? I mean, there's nothing. You just have to move on.
Yeah, it's just, it's hard because, you know, we have to, I don't know, roll with the punches, I assume. It's just, you have to bring up guys who we didn't think we'd, you know, be starting Edwin Mason at. I mean, I didn't really think we'd be starting him in games, you know. I certainly didn't think we'd be seeing Taylor Green this early, but when you have, you know, devastating injuries, you have to bring up somebody at some point. And I would like to mention that Brandon Kinsler is now off the DL and is, I know this has been probably news for a while now, but he's been starting.
We only do this once a week.
Yeah,
so.
he's been starting with Brevard County High A, the Manatees. So, you know,
you're the C-Cow.
You know, I think, you know, he has pitched with us before, and I think we can very well see him again. But
yeah, we just need more bodies in the bullpen at this point, is what it sounds like. It's just, you know, with everyone being as inconsistent as they are, you know, the more we can try to switch things up and try to find someone consistent, you know, the better off they'll be. And I hate that mentality to some degree, where we're like, oh, that guy's not working, kick him out, let's find someone new. That guy's not working, kick him out, you know? But, again, we're running real short of time.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, the fact that we need to start kicking people out, because we know we have a good bullpen. You know, it's kind of the same bullpen we had last year, with, like I said, without the exceptions of Saito and Hawkins, and it's just, it's essentially the same exact team. And I don't get why there's just this mental thing of why we can't do it. I mean, I'm going to make a football reference here, but the Packers, you know, I love the Packers. They're my favorite football team. But, you know, looking at our Super Bowl season win, where we had the second best defense behind the Steelers, and I'm looking at last season, we have the worst rated defense, same exact guys. How does that happen?
Right. It's confusing and it's troubling. And, you know, a real telling stat here, just looking at the numbers from the schedule, in May so far, every single game that we've won in May, we've won scoring more than 5 runs. Every single game that we've lost, we've lost by scoring less than 5 runs. I mean, is it a case that we just can't win unless everybody explodes off the bat? Like, we seemingly can't win close games.
Honestly, Colin, that's what it really seems like to me. I mean, we lose 4 in a row, and we explode on Minnesota. I mean,
right.
That is a series we should not have lost, by the way. I mean, losing 11-3 to Minnesota at home, that's embarrassing.
Right.
I'm not trying to discredit Minnesota, because yes, they are a major league team with major league players, but they have been the worst team for a year and almost a half now, and we're losing to them 11-3 at home. That just...
Right.
That does not sit well with me. That doesn't sit well with any Brewers fan. You know, and then we lose the next game, you know, 5-4, a very close game, you know, in 11 innings, and it's just losing that series to Minnesota just... And then losing the series to... Actually getting swept by the Astros right before that.
Right, it's...
It's frustrating beyond belief.
To say the least. To say the least, it's frustrating. It's, you know, we looked at that. We looked at that last week, and we said, "Oh, we have the Cubs coming up. You know, we have we're playing the Mets and the Astros, and then the Twins. Oh, this is going to be a breeze. You know, there's going to be some trouble against the Giants, which we knew there was going to be trouble with the D-backs and the Dodgers. It was going to be a tough, you know, West Coast swing coming up at the end of the month. And now, like, everything just looks impossible now. And you don't like to say that.
No, because I mean." You can't obviously take teams for granted, saying, "Oh, we can beat them," and we just figured that out, obviously, the hard way. But we have a tough 7 games coming up against us. You know, we do have a 4-game stand with the Dodgers, and that's just...
In Dodger Stadium.
God help us if we face Kershaw.
Right.
You know...
Right. It's gonna be troubling, for sure. You know, June looks like it stacks up in our favor. You know, with the first couple weeks, big homestand with the Pirates, the Cubs, and the Padres.
Yes.
And then we go and play the Royals, and then the Twins, and then host the Blue Jays at home. You know, we have a decent enough interleague schedule where we shouldn't have, you know, a lot of trouble. But, boy, a lot of it is up in the air right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the AL Central... it kind of surprised me to see Cleveland in the lead, and then the White Sox right behind them. And we do play the White Sox coming up, and it's just, you know, on that roster, you know, Jake Peavy has done a lot, you know, coming back from surgery, and it's just a lot of things are clicking right for the White Sox. You know, Toronto's been doing fairly well with Brandon Morrow and Ricky Romero. And I just, you know, I even don't like the fact of playing Kansas City, because they, to me, have the problem that the Astros have. They have the talent. They just can't put it all together at once. You know, with Aaron Hosmer and Mike Moustakas and Billy Butler, they have a lot of talent there. And it's just, like you said, June, I guess, isn't really what I would call an easy month, but it isn't that hard. I mean, looking at our matchups against Arizona coming up after this series with the Giants in Arizona, we have Friday night, which is Yovani Gallardo versus Ian Kennedy. Saturday, the 26th, which is Zach Greinke versus Wade Miley. And then Sunday, the 27th, Wolf versus Patrick Corbin. We have our 3 best starters probably going out there, you know, excluding Markham, who will pitch, you know, in that Monday game against the Dodgers. I think Gallardo and Kennedy is probably the big matchup of that series.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that's going to be a big test for whether or not Gallardo's really going to get into his groove.
Yeah, because you're playing a good team on the road, a team that we beat last year in the NLDS. So, you know, and it's on their turf, you know, so it's going to be tricky.
It is, and you know, there's no easy game during the baseball season. There's just no such thing. But yeah, this last week and a half in May is going to be particularly trying. And I'm going to say, if there's any, it's not even a question of whether or not the Brewers need to make a move, because they do, and June has to be the month. You're not going to get a month where you're going to be put in better position to start racking up wins than June.
Yeah, so, you know, I was reading an article earlier, and I think it's pretty interesting that people actually think this. Jim Bowden posted an article on ESPN talking about how Greinke could be, you know, one of the big names who could be on the move in the coming weeks, and I don't see that happening. I don't think if we lose Greinke, it's going to be before the trade deadline.
I don't think, and I was going to ask you that when we were doing the player of the week, because I've been seeing that a lot more and more, and I don't know if that's something that people are saying because, you know, he's doing so well with a team that's underperforming, or because there's any substance behind it. But I'll say, unless Washington is willing to give us a fire sale or, you know, something of that nature, we're going to get some big, big names. If it's a move to restock our farm system, you know, we absolutely do not need to do that, in my opinion. No. It's got to be for players now and players that can win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any reason or concern for losing Greinke before July 31st. I don't think we will lose him. I just really don't. He's comfortable pitching in Milwaukee. We've seen that. He's done well. And he knows he can do well with the Brewers. They give him run support when he pitches. So I don't see us losing him before the season's over, certainly. I think we keep him for the rest of the season.
Right, but that is definitely going to be big talk coming in, especially because you have to assume Greinke's going to be an all-star, and you know, so that whole upcoming week and everything is going to be nothing but discussion about that coming up.
Yeah, there's one thing I wanted to add before we get into our all-star talks, because I know we wanted to talk about that today. And the one thing I saw that I thought was interesting, to say the least, was Bud Selig does not want to do replay at all. I don't get why. The biggest example of that, still in my mind, is Armando Galarraga's perfect game, when he had the power to overturn that.
Right. And, you know, the thing about it is, though, because once you start replaying baseball, where do you stop?
Well,
you know what I mean? You can't really put it in the manager's hands to, like, say to the umpire, hey, I want a replay on that, because a manager's main job is to argue with umpires. That's, like, half the reason they're there.
Yeah.
So that players don't get ejected.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, there are so many games and so many umpires that have blown basically games because, you know, their strike zone is too small, then it expands and it goes too small. Or there's been close plays at first, and we know everybody's human. There's going to be that human error factor, and I understand that, you understand that, we all understand that. You know, people do make mistakes, but they have it in football. Why can't we have it in baseball? It's a crucial thing. You know, it's not changing the game by any means. It's just making sure we get the right calls in crucial games. If they wanted to do that with the playoffs, which I think we should absolutely have in the playoffs, because that's a time where you don't want to mess up. But if it's like, I don't know, a Mariners-Royals game, you know, and it's the last week of the season and neither team's going to the playoffs, I mean, who really cares? But,
oh, right.
I mean, but for games with implications, that's a different thing.
Yeah, and that's also part of the issue, is that, you know, with baseball, there's, I mean, there's really not as clear-cut a formula as there is in football, you know? There's very clear definitions of rule, of what rules can be challenged, what, you know, what rules can't. It's apples and oranges, really. And the way, you know, if it's easier, I think, for Bud Selig now. He might be stepping down. He will probably be stepping down at the end of this year as commissioner. He's had enough on his plate in his time. He's expanded interleague play. He's expanded the wild cards in the playoffs. And he's, you know, he had the entire steroid era to preside over. I think it's more of a case of him. It's like, leave that for the future. I don't really want to touch it. Because it's going to be a process. Whether or not they start to do it. And you remember the whole Quest Tech thing.
Yes.
A while back. You know, players hated it, and I'm not sure if players will respond as well to, you know, replay where they're starting to gain momentum, and then their plays have to be challenged by replay, and that momentum kind of dies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing about it, though. It's just, you have, like you said, the momentum swing. But, I mean, there are players... I mean, they did it in the 80s with George Brett, who exploded, you know, coming out of the dugout saying that was a home run, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, that, you know, was one of the rare instances where, you know, MLB did use replay. And...
Right.
And it is a touchy subject still, certainly, but I think it should definitely be used in the playoffs by any means.
Yeah, and that's somewhere they'll definitely start. And again, I don't think they're really gonna make a big effort until Bud Selig steps down. Or if he doesn't, then you'll probably see something start up. But I think it's too political of an issue for him to touch right now.
Yeah, that's very true in that sense. You know, we were talking, you know, about the All-Star game. And, you know, I created lineups and reserves for both leagues, so I'll say my American League. Did you create rosters or anything for yours, or?
I have my pick down. In terms of reserves, I have a few in mind, but, you know, I can work off yours for
all
sure.
All right, I'm gonna start with the American League, and then we'll go with your American League, and we'll just go from there.
Sounds good.
American League, for first base, I have Paul Konerko. Second base, I have Robinson Cano. Third base, I have Miguel Cabrera. Shortstop, I have Derek Jeter. Catcher, I have Joe Mauer. Center field, Josh Hamilton. Left field, Josh Willingham. Right field, Ichiro Suzuki. DH, Ortiz. David Ortiz from Boston. Starting pitcher, Justin Verlander. The reserves I have for the AL, the catcher, I have AJ Pierzynski. I have Prince Fielder, Dustin Pedroia, Adrian Beltre, Mike Moustakas, Elvis Andrus, Estrubel Cabrera, Matt Joyce, Nelson Cruz, Austin Jackson, Adam Jones, Michael Young. Starting pitchers for reserves, I have Yu Darvish, Jake Peavy, Jeremy Hellickson, Jared Weaver, Felix Hernandez, Brandon Morrow, and Derek Lowe. Relief pitchers, I have Jim Johnson, Fernando Rodney, Chris Perez, Ryan Cook, and Vinny Pistano.
I'll give you... Go ahead, my starters for the American League. Thinking about prospects and relief pitchers right off the bat, I would say we would be pretty well in line, especially with starting pitchers in the American League. But I put my first base, I put Prince Fielder on first. Might be a little bit of reserve homerism there, but I think he's doing well. Second base, Robinson Cano. Third base, Miguel Cabrera, like you had. Shortstop, Derek Jeter as well. I put Joe Mauer as my catcher as well, and then the designated hitter. I actually chose Edwin Encarnacion from Toronto.
Yeah, he's been doing fantastic this season.
Yeah, and I think him and Ortiz are going to be kind of neck and neck in that respect. And then the outfield, I have Brett Gardner from the Yankees.
If he's back in time.
Right, if he's back in time, yeah. Josh Hamilton, obviously. I mean, that's a no-brainer. And then... I had Denard Span in now, but there's a ton of people that can go in that third outfielder spot, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, that, especially when I was getting towards the NL with my NL list, it was just so hard picking players because there's so many that are doing so good in, like, a position. You have four players for one position, but you can only pick two. And I'm basing this on the fact that we have 34 on each roster because last year we had 33, so I'm basing it kind of on that. But
right.
But pitcher-wise, I mean, I was looking at more of, and then they'll probably have five more starts. Each pitcher will have probably five more starts before the All-Star game is, you know, no doubt in my mind Verlander's a starter for the AL. I mean, he's just phenomenal.
Yeah,
you know,
that's it.
You know, and I'm very confident Jake Peavy will do fine. You know, Jared Weaver, Hellickson. And I'm very surprised with Yu Darvish how he started off. You know, 6-2 on the season. I believe his ERA might be over 3 now with that outing he had against Seattle. We found out that's probably his... You know, that's his kryptonite, is Seattle, and that's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Felix Hernandez, I think, will get there. Brandon Morrow has been doing very well for Toronto, and Derek Lowe has just been doing phenomenal for Cleveland. And, I mean, it was kind of hard because you had to keep in mind you had to take somebody from each team. So, I mean,
right.
You have Edwin Encarnacion from the Blue Jays as well, but I only have Brandon Morrow from the Blue Jays. Because, I mean, you look at teams and you're just like, well, he's the only guy doing well, and everybody else, you know, there's somebody else that's better than them right now. So it's hard to tell, really.
Right.
But
yeah, and there's a lot of, you know, looking at like the Orioles too. Who do you throw in from them? And it's
yeah,
because there are a lot of good. I mean, that's a great team. There's no like real superstar players from it, you know, from a lot of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Johnson though, I had to pick from Baltimore because he's leading the AL in saves. It's just he's been doing well because the Baltimore's closer has been such a revolving door of people. And I think they finally settled on Jim Johnson to do that role. And Adam Jones in the outfield has always been very good. You know, he and Nick Markakis have done really well out there, but Adam Jones has always been, you know, the more power hitter guy. Nick Markakis is a power hitter, but he's a power hitter that hits 240.
So, right.
NL-wise, I do have three Brewers. None of them actually I have starting, but I do have three Brewers indeed. National League for first base, I have Joey Votto. Second base, I have Daniel Murphy. Third base, I have David Wright. Shortstop, I have Rafael Furcal. Catcher, I have Carlos Ruiz. Center field, I have Matt Kemp. Left field, I have Melky Cabrera. Right field, I have Andre Ethier. And the starting pitcher, I have as Clayton Kershaw. Reserves, I have Jonathan Lucroy as the catcher, because I think he needs to get in there no matter what. First base, I have two, actually. I have Brian LaHare and Adam LaRoche. Second base, I have Jose Altuve. Third base, I have two again. I have Chris Johnson and Chase Hidley. Shortstop, I have Starlin Castro. In outfield, I actually have five outfield reserves. I have Ryan Braun, Carlos Beltran, Andrew McCutchen, Carlos Gonzalez, and Jason Kubel. Reserves for starting pitching, I have Zach Greinke, Johnny Cueto, Steven Strasburg, Brandon Beachy, Gio Gonzalez, Carlos Zambrano, Ted Lilly, and Lance Lynn. Relief pitchers, I have Craig Kimbrell, Jonathan Papelbon, Brett Myers, Josh Lindblom, and Tyler Clifford.
That's a good list. I'd like to see, like, Hanrahan for the Pirates, for sure, when we're talking about relief pitchers. I'd still throw Axe in there, I think, as a manager's pick. I think you just look at the way he performs. I think it's hard to keep him out. But you know, the reserve pitchers I thought was very well, and I would, you know, it'd be tough for me as a manager if I had to pick between Clayton Kershaw or say Zach Greinke to get a start. I mean, that's a tough pick.
Yeah, and I mean, the reason why I chose who I chose for relief though is because I at least want to choose three closers and two setup men, and Josh Lindblom from the Dodgers has been doing absolutely, you know, amazing this year. He's pitched 22 and one-thirds innings. He has 10 holds in that, and only one blown save, and he has an ERA of 2.42. I mean, you can't really ask for a much better, you know, relief guy than that. And, you know, Tyler Clifford has been doing really well for the Nationals as well. 20 innings, you know, pitched with, you know, 10 holes and one blow and save, an ERA of 3.15. And like I said, again, I'm looking at who will be more consistent going into the All-Star game. And, you know, closer-wise, I mean, there's no doubt Craig Kimbrel gets in there. I mean, he's just, without a doubt, he's, you know, in there. Jonathan Papelbon's a perfect 12 for 12. I mean, he hasn't blown a save yet. And Brett Myers, going from that starting role to a closer role, that's just impressive to me. And the fact that he's been able to get 11 saves with only a 1.8 ERA and only one blown save. I mean, you can't beat that. You can't beat that. And I mean, yeah, I would love to throw Axford into there or Hanrahan, but it's just Hanrahan has been a little bit tricky. Axford has just not had the opportunities to get in there. And I think there are guys that have had those opportunities that have slammed the door multiple times. And that's why. And it's not that I don't want to put them in there. It's just, like I said, it's hard. Like, for first base, I had Brian LaHare and Adam LaRoche, but I really wanted to stick Freddie Freeman in there somewhere. I just had no room for him.
Right, and that's the difficult, and that's the difficult part. For my National League starting lineup, I have, like you, Joey Votto on first base. For second base, I actually I put in Jose Altuve from Houston. Has done a fantastic job.
Oh, he has.
And then I think if anyone from Houston's going to go, I mean, that's someone that you have to really think of. I put Furcal in a shortstop. I took David Wright for third base. I don't know from a popular vote standpoint how many he's going to get because he's always just been a guy that plays baseball, you know, but he's been playing so well this year.
I mean, I don't think there's any question in saying this that David Wright is hands down the best player in the MLB right now. I mean, he has just been doing so well for a Mets organization that has gone through so much. It's just, I think he's literally one of the best players in baseball this season.
Absolutely. And over the last couple of years, I mean, barring injuries and, you know, that wicked pitch to the head he took a while back. A model of consistency in terms of just good, well-tailored play.
Definitely.
I picked Jonathan Lucroy as my starting catcher because I think you have to be crazy not to pick him as your starting catcher.
Yeah, I mean, it hurt me to pick Carlos Ruiz, but I mean, I guess war is a factor into this as well. And Carlos Ruiz is really the only guy in the Phillies that's doing anything.
Right.
I mean, that's not a pitcher. He's the only offensive guy doing anything. And I mean, Lucroy is kind of like one of the only offensive guys besides, like we said, Nori and Braun doing anything. But I mean, I hate Philadelphia so much with a burning passion. We've talked about this before. It's just, but I had to give it to Ruiz. I felt bad not giving it to Lucroy, but I definitely think Lucroy gets in the All-Star game no matter what.
In my opinion, I think if Lucroy doesn't start the All-Star game this year, based on what he did all last year, you know, and this year, I think if he doesn't start the All-Star game, it's an absolute travesty.
Yeah.
But I'll move on from that because that's something, you know, it depends on popular votes and all sorts of other stuff, so it's difficult to tell. But in my outfield, I picked Michael Bourne from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then I have Ryan Braun starting, but that obviously is going to be dependent upon how everyone feels about him and his
issue.
You know, issues, yes. And then, barring injury, you know, it doesn't look like it would happen, but I think Matt Kemp would be a guy that you'd have to put in there for sure. Outside of him, you know, again, there's a lot of people I think that you could put in there, and I think someone like Jason Worth would do well. Mainly because I don't think we have enough beards in our lineups.
No, we need more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like we do have some pretty good All-Star teams, and I can't disagree with them, you know. It's just, I think there's just so much talent that we've realized, you know, this year. And it's hard to put everybody in a place because, you know, obviously guys are going to get snubbed from it. It's happened before. But I think, obviously, the locks for the AL, Jeter, Cano, Cabrera, Hamilton, Verlander, those are locks. The NL, Votto, in my mind, David Wright, I think it has to be a lock. Matt Kemp, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, there are guys that I think obviously will get in there no matter what. But, you know, there are guys that it's just, it's hard to tell. It's really hard to tell. But regardless, I think it should be a fantastic All-Star game this season. It is played in Kansas City, which I thought was an interesting place.
Beautiful place to play.
Yeah, I mean, for, you know, as bad as the Royals do, their park doesn't get enough recognition, so.
Right.
I think, you know, looking at these lineups, gonna have to be a little biased here and give it to the NL. I just, starting pitching wins games. And I think the National League starting pitching is a tad bit better.
Yeah.
And that's what wins games. Pitching wins games. So it's really difficult to tell because, you know, you have, I don't want to say the better hitters are in the AL, but you have the better NL pitchers against the better AL pitchers, and it's kind of like two trains, you know, leave Chicago at, you know, that
right.
problem, but it's going to be great. You know, it's still a month and a half off. Have time to vote. Make sure you get on vote, people. Whoever listens to this, make sure you get on vote for Lucroy, Braun, any of your Brewers, you know. Maybe we'll see all of them. Maybe Cesar Cervantes will make an appearance.
Oh, God. I would quit. I would quit All-Star games if that happened.
I quit baseball. you just have to.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, once again, another great show. Thank you for listening. And as always, please tune in next week.
Thanks, guys.